Okay, gang, I want everybody to turn to coaching session number one. The first piece of paper in coaching session number one is one that you're going to get very, very used to seeing. It is a coaching activity assignment sheet, and what you need to do is put your name at the top of it and put after your name Pack 34 and the date. This piece of paper is where you will write your activity assignments or your action plans, as I often refer to them, that are required of you every single week. When those items are completed, you fax the item in to me, including this sheet, as your cover sheet. Kind of check it off. Put a check mark or something that you've completed that. And then at the bottom, there are a series of five questions that are labeled A through E. You know, feel free to fill those out. Hello, someone's got us on speakerphone. Hello. Okay, guys, no more speakerphone. Nope. Okay. All right. So A through E on the bottom, if you want to fill in those questions before you fax it in, you're welcome to, but I want you to understand that I will address those questions at the beginning in our housekeeping part of every single coaching call. So if you don't want to fill them in, but you want to review them and you want to bring your question to me and to the group in relationship to those when we do our housekeeping at the beginning of our session, that's fine also. So coaching activity assignment session number one, I want you to have that sheet available because before the end of our session today, you will have a couple of assignments, okay? Next sheet. Guys, this is going to be your Bible. This is the sheet that is going to make or break this coaching activity program with you. It's called the Daily Activity Record and Evaluation Sheet. And I want you to understand it's going to take you a while to get used to it. But my philosophy is if you track your performance will improve. If you report your performance will improve faster. This is your reporting sheet. And for some of you who have been in the business for a while, I'm sure you've heard many, many times over that real estate is a numbers game, numbers game, numbers game. And I want you to understand that real estate is a numbers game, but it's becoming a ratio game. We need to look at the difference between generating leads and a commission check is being able to convert our leads. Therefore, we have to track what we do on a daily basis in order to identify whether or not we're doing enough to convert at the ratio in which we need to. So, I'm going to explain this sheet of paper to you very briefly, and then we're going to get right into our lesson, okay? I want you to look at it, and I want you to start at the bottom left-hand corner. In that corner, and understand, guys, I don't expect you to remember all this. This is something that we're going to deal with every single coaching call. We're going to review this sheet of paper, okay? Bottom left-hand corner has what we call a T-chart. On the left-hand side, it says direct income producing. On the right-hand side, it says indirect income producing. Another word for direct income producing activities are activities that you do consistently every single day with commitment, okay, that are high payoff. Indirect income producing activities are any activity that you do every single day consistently that are low payoff. Okay, so the purpose of that chart down in the corner is to kind of wake you up in the morning. It's kind of like the fuel gauge on your car. It's saying to you, whoa, 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 what are you doing every day? Are you flitting around? Are you wasting your time? Are you doing a bunch of low payoff activities? Or are you really actually focusing on high payoff activities? Now, I'm going to give you, and maybe on this first piece of paper, you might want to write these down under direct income producing. But in the real estate business, there are only 5 direct income, high payoff activities. Here they are. I'm going to give them to you in the order of importance. Number 1, prospecting. And when I say the word prospecting, I don't want you to think that I'm expecting you to take a phone and go in an office and sit in a corner and dial for dollars. The definition of prospecting to me is that you have to do something consistently every single day to generate new business. Number 2, lead follow-up. You have to do something consistently every single day to generate old business. Now, I'd like to add a word in there, and I will add a word in there eventually in a couple of weeks, and that's do something consistently with commitment. But right now, we're just going to do it consistently, okay? Number 3, listing and pre-listing and anything contractual with the listing side of your business. Number 4, showing and selling and anything contractual with the showing and selling side of the business. Now, we're going to look at that in a little bit greater depth as we go through this process, and you will find that a high payoff DIPA activity is not sitting at a house for 2 hours waiting for a home inspector, even though that may be showing and selling and contractual. It's not, just not a good use of time. Number 5, personal growth and self-improvement. Now, you can sit here and you can try and justify and you can try and tell me different things and you can try and say, well, is this high payoff and is this high payoff and is this low payoff? And you know, you can analyze it to death. Don't do it. It has to fit in one of those 5 categories. Okay? If you're thinking of something other than what I've just said, most likely it goes in indirect income producing. Indirect income producing is going to consist of things like staff meeting and broker tour and MLS searches and licking and sticking, that's what I call mail, and sending out flyers and doing all that kind of stuff. To me, that is so stinking low payoff, you guys have no idea. But you will eventually, because I will tell you right now, okay, I've managed a lot of real estate people, and you know what? It's so much fun to watch them when they get it. When you get it, it's going to make all the difference in the world. Okay? All right. Now, I want you to take your activity assignment sheet, and I want you to write on your activity assignment sheet that I want you to try and mentally become aware of what you're doing every single day. Think about it. Am I high payoff? Am I low payoff? Am I DIPA? Am I IPA? And we'll add another word to that later. But that's the purpose of that chart. If you want to write it down, write it down. If you want to make your own big T chart, do so. I believe you'll find one in session 2, and we will be talking about it. But there is a big one in session 2. But understand, I want you to understand the difference, okay? Then you go up to the upper left-hand corner. It says daily disciplines. This is the prospecting column. This piece of paper, this daily activity record and evaluation, is a piece of paper that protects your high payoff activities. That's what it does. It protects your high payoff activities. It's going to keep you focused on them, and it's going to protect those 5 things I just told you about. Starting with column 1. Column 1 protects prospecting and lead follow-up. The center column, called activity column, protects the listing and selling and the contractual side of your relationship with buyers and sellers. And column 3, the personal growth column, deals with personal growth issues. Use this like a daily calendar, like a daily day planner, and every time you do one of these activities, just put a little tally mark in the box. Just mark it off. All those other things that you feel you have to do every day, okay, they can go in the bottom of column 3. There's a whole bunch of extra lines there. You know, if your wife says to you in the morning, will you run by and pick up the dry cleaning? Write it there. Got to pick up the dry cleaning. Then when you accomplish it, check it off. Okay? And then when you're all done, down in the bottom right-hand corner, there's a section that says rate your day. I want you guys to look at that as a journal to your success. I want you to be honest with yourself. I want you to take notes there. I want you to go beyond those lines if you need to, because we're going to take some time further on in coaching, and we're going to go back and look at these, and we're going to review them, and we're going to try and get a better understanding of where we were and where we've gone. Okay? Now, you're all probably sitting there going, whoa, you know, that is so much information. I can't even imagine that I'm going to grasp this. Understand, I don't expect you to right away. But this is going to be something that is going to be so important. Okay? So I want you to put on your activity assignment sheet that you need to start playing with this sheet of paper. You need to start carrying it with you. You may want to keep it on a clipboard. You may want to do something. But understand, I want you to start writing down, and I always say this because this is very typical, everything you eat. And I often tell a story of my mother. My mother is 80 years old, and as long as I can remember as a child, my mother's been on a diet. So my mother's been on a diet for about 40 years. Now, understand, my mother's cupboards at her house are full of diet products and candy. She's invested in every single diet program on the market, everything, from Jenny Craig to Weight Watchers, to LA Weight Loss, to Nutrisystem. Trust me, my mom's bought it. But the amazing thing is that my mom today is probably the heaviest she's ever been. And why is that? She will blame it on every system. She'll say, oh, this one doesn't work, and that one doesn't work, and this one's got too much sodium in it, and this and this and this. And in fact, the only thing that's not working is my mother. Because those companies are in business for a reason. They work. I am an absolute master at losing weight. And every time my mother's on a diet, I'll say, oh, I'll go on a diet with you. So I'll go on a diet with her. And, you know, I can always afford to lose 5 or 10 pounds every time. You know, I wouldn't consider myself overweight, but I can do it. And it's amazing what happens. My mom gets really mad at me. Because I can drop 10 pounds in 2 weeks, no problem. And it's simply by tracking what I put in my mouth. I want you guys to start learning to track what you put in your day. And if you do something that's not on here, write it in. Scribble on it. Write on the back. I don't care. Okay? Next piece of paper in this section is called Weekly Activity Record and Evaluation. And after we've been together for a couple of weeks and we've been tracking, we're going to start compiling our dailies on our weeklies. And then we're going to compile them on our monthlies. So our beginning month, okay, is the 20th of every month. But we're most likely going to make it the 30th and the 1st because it's going to take you a couple weeks to get used to those things. Okay? So guys, don't worry about it now. Don't ask a bunch of questions. Don't say, well, this isn't on there and that isn't on there. My schedule's a little bit different, because we're going to get to all of that. I just want you to start reviewing these sheets and familiarizing themselves with you, because you know what? You have got to get disciplined to do these on a daily basis. Okay? I'm going to tell you why. I want to talk to you about creating success. And I'll tell you that for the 33 years that I've been in the real estate business, I have studied how real estate agents think, how they react, and what they do within all different types of situations. And, you know, after years of watching them, observing them, often arguing with them, sometimes firing them, sometimes hiring them, okay, I have come to the conclusion that there are only four core areas that champion performers monitor and improve. There's only four places that they work hard on monitoring and improving their business. I have gotten to the point, and Dirk has, and Real Estate Champions has, where we call these four things the four probabilities of success. Now, understand, a probability has a greater likelihood of happening than a possibility, but it still is probable. If you don't do them, you may not get to that level of success. And in all honesty, it doesn't matter if you're a real estate agent, a doctor, a dentist, an accountant, a ditch digger. It doesn't matter. You know, I've given these four probabilities of success to my two boys. And, you know, my oldest one, who was not the college graduate, who in fact had a terminal illness as a young adult and struggled for his life every day and has snapped out of it and has become a thriving compression engineer, which is a trade school career, okay, that's the name of it, yet it's a trade school career, who could never make it big in college, just couldn't do it because he struggled with illness, has become very successful just by the four probabilities of success. It was such a simple thing, he understood it. I sat down and talked to him about it, and his life has literally changed as a result of it. Okay? The four areas are, the four probabilities of success, I want you to write them down, are activities, skill, knowledge, and attitude. Activities, skill, knowledge, and attitude. And when you work to improve and increase any of those, you're going to increase your odds of becoming more successful, more wealthy, improving your personal relationships, improving your health, and everything in life is governed by those four. Everything. So I want you to take a few minutes, and I want each and every one of you to put them in the order of importance. I want you to put a one by the one that you think is number one, the most important, two, three, four, and so on. And then I'm going to ask each and every one of you for your order. And I don't want you to be embarrassed, because I'll tell you right now, okay, the percentage of people that get it right is very low. So take a few minutes, put those in order. Okay, we're going to go in reverse from what we did with attendance. And, I'm going to jump around. I'm going to be fair. Let's start with Dan. Dan, tell us the order you put them in. Dan, are you on the phone? Yes, not. Jim.
Which one?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. How about Jim Crosby?
I have activities, attitude, skill, and knowledge.
Okay. How about James?
You can call me Jim, too, Ann. And actually,
okay,
I think Jim was looking off my paper. I had the exact same thing.
Oh, you guys cheating already?
Yeah,
okay, how about Nathan?
Yeah, I actually started with attitude first, and then I went to activities, and then knowledge and skill.
Okay. Benny?
I have, for number one, I have attitude. For number two, I have knowledge, and for number three, activities, and four, skill.
Okay. All right, let's try Dan again. He was having phone trouble. Okay. All right, guys, you ready? You want to know the truth? The truth is, Jim and Jim got it right. Nathan and Bernie got number one as attitude, and I will tell Nathan and Benny, pardon me, right now that 85% of the real estate community will answer that attitude is number one. And this is how it works, guys, and this is what we're going to do. You have got to do the activities to improve the attitude, to gain the skill, to increase the knowledge. You got it? You've got to do the activities to improve the attitude, to gain the skill, to increase the knowledge. If mom would do the activities and stop eating everything and write down what she ate, she would have a much better attitude about dieting because she'd see some results, and she would get better at dieting because she sees the results, and her skill at dieting would become better, and she'd have a lot better knowledge on which program works for her. But instead, she just keeps throwing away money. How many of you guys have bought a book you've never read? How many of you guys have tapes, real estate motivational tapes, that are still sitting on the shelf that you've never listened to? How many of you guys have bought listing presentations and buyer packages and information and newsletters and all kinds of stuff that you've never been 100% committed to using?
Mm-hmm.
That's because you don't do the activities that you have to do associated with the real estate business to improve the attitude, to gain the skill, to increase the knowledge. Let's stop being knowers and let's start being doers. You know, I think that every single one of you could make a valid case that attitude needs to be the highest priority. But you know, with what? Without a good attitude, you know, I agree that your growth is stunted. But your growth is really stunted if you don't do anything. So what do you want stunted? You want your growth stunted, or you want your ability to earn a living and have a better quality of life stunted? And you know what, guys? I'm not going to disagree with you. It's an illogical argument. But you will find out after being with me for 6 months that I am so on fire about what I do every single day, that if I don't get you to do the activities, my attitude's going to change. I can get cranky. Because you know what? It's that simple. It is that simple. You know, here's a statement, and I want each and every one of you to write it down. And I will say it twice so that you get it. Does my attitude influence my activities more than my activities influence my attitude? Does my attitude influence my activities more than my activities influence my attitude? You know, I think about that in relationship to health clubs. I've copped this attitude over the years that I don't want to go to a health club because everybody there's got a rock-hard body and just thinks they're really hot stuff, and all they do is hang around and grope each other with their eyes. So guess what? I don't go. But why do they go there? They go there so that they look like that. If I just go there and get beyond the attitude, I could probably look like them too. But instead, I sit back, I compare notes, I get jealous, I say, oh, ho, ho, so-and-so this and so-and-so that, and what are they doing? And they got my buyer and they got my seller and their sign went in the front yard, and oh, poor me. Simply stated, guys, does how I feel control what I do? And if you answer that question yes, then there's a barrier between you and your goals and dreams in life. And this barrier is going to stop you from becoming a champion agent. And you know, if you're waiting for your attitude to improve before you begin doing something, if you wait for something to change because it's too tough to do, and you know you need to do it as a salesperson, you could be waiting a heck of a long time. You know what? You're like the man that stands in front of the stove and says, give me some heat. And if you give me some heat, I'll put some wood in you. Are you kidding me? You got to put the wood in before you can experience the heat. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Yep.
I have to tell you something. You know, this is a very interesting story, but a number of years ago, when Dirk and I were about the only two, Dirk, Don, and I were about the only three people at Real Estate Champions, we met a guy out on, you know, we're building this business, we're out running around the country. We met a guy. He was from Pennsylvania. And he was considering, pardon?
John Gualtieri, I'm guessing.
Yeah, John Gualtieri. If any of you guys know him, how do you know him?
I actually was on a half-hour coaching session with him, and I just know the name. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, John was considering working with a coach, and he wanted to help. He was looking for help for himself to improve. And, you know, John had been stuck for a number of years at the same production level. You know, he was at that time 15 years in the business, plus a veteran of real estate sales, okay, and he was making about $300,000 a year. Now, you're all probably sitting there going, holy cow, $300,000 a year, would I love to make that? Well, the truth is that within 15 minutes of talking to John, we knew that $300,000 was really, truly far too little of an income for him to earn. He was worth much more than that. You know, his attitude, his skill, and his knowledge really demanded that he earn a lot more money. What did I say? His attitude, his skill, and his knowledge really demanded that he earn a lot more money. The problem was he didn't do the activities. And he didn't do them consistently, and he didn't do them enough to earn a greater income. He just did what he had to do to stay at $300,000. And the interesting part of it was Dirk looked at him, and I will never forget this as long as I live. He said, John, I cannot motivate a satisfied person. You know what? He wanted the magical piece. He was looking for what most people look for when they get into coaching, and is that little bit of knowledge and that little bit of skill and that little bit of systems and that little bit of organization that's going to transform his business, it's going to transform his life, and it's going to transform his bank account. Are you kidding me? Guess what? John was clogged. He was mentally clogged. He did not know what to do. He didn't know where he was going to go. So what was he doing? He's just getting a bunch more information. He was doing it backwards. He was trying to gather a whole bunch of knowledge because he was going to put all that knowledge to action. And you know what? He never did it. Well, to make a long story short, John finally made the investment in Real Estate Champions. He's been with our company since its conception, to the point where now John is retired, John has sold his business, and John works for us just the same way that I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? It's all about doing. That's what coaching is about. It's about helping you do. I'm here to help you do. And you know, the problem is, if we're not sound in the activities that we engage in or what we invest our time in, then the new ideas, the new techniques, and all the other stuff when we get to the skill portion, well, they're going to bring limited results. And you know what, guys? I can't help you. I can teach you. I can fill your brains with knowledge. And I'll tell you, I by far am one of the most knowledgeable people in the real estate business today. But does that mean that that's going to make you a champion? Absolutely not. Your individual personal productivity is the most valuable asset your business has. What is individual productivity? It's called activities. We lose our productivity, we lose our profitability, and we lose focus on key activities. When we lose focus on key activities, what are we losing? We're losing our profitability. So I want you, if you do nothing else for the next week, I want you to look at your time. I want you to think about investing your time for the highest return. Why do you think we call it high payoff? Why do you think we call it direct income producing? And you know what? You are never, ever going to be able to hire someone as skilled as you to bring business in the door of your business. Activities, attitude, skill, and knowledge. The next piece of paper in session two is called production questions. I want you to fill that out for me. That's an activity assignment. I want you to tell me the total number of sides. And when I went through and asked each and every one of you to give me some of this information, I'm not going to call people out. I'm not going to say you did the wrong thing because you didn't. That's how we approach coaching. But one of you gave me those numbers. They told me the number of transactions they'd done. They told me how many they thought they needed to do and what that computed in dollar volume. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
I want you to fill out these production questions. List your transactions below. And then move forward and look at all these sheets in the back. Spend some time. A self-evaluation of personal selling skills. Okay? What does KSAA stand for? Knowledge, skill, attitude, activity. Identify where you think you are in each one of these areas. Proactive is high payoff DIPA. Reactive is low payoff IPA. Number one, identify proactive lead generation sources. Well, do you do that with knowledge? Do you do that with skill? Do that with activities, or do you do that with attitude? Proactive, I would hope you do it with activities, but if you don't, be honest with yourself. You know how many agents out there that are trying to generate leads by sitting down every morning with their real estate hot sheet, going through all the expireds, writing down the names and the phone numbers of those people, looking at them, thinking about them, looking at the phone and never picking it up? Well, you sure found out an awful lot about them, didn't you? You found out their listing expired. You found out it was overpriced. You found out where you lived. You found out whether they were on the no-call list. You found out what their tax assessment was. You found out everything, but you never did anything. Oh, maybe you sent them a letter. But is that proactive? No. Or maybe you sent them out an expired letter, or maybe you put them on your mailing list, or maybe you put them on your e-newsletter, but you never knocked on their door, you never picked up the phone and called them. And when a Coldwell Banker or an ERA or a REMAX or whatever company sign shows up in the front yard that's not yours, you get mad because you think it's yours. And then you have a lousy attitude, and then you can't go back and do the activity again because boo-hoo burned you. Business success process. Why do I do these things? What are my goals? What are my plans? What are my systems? What are the activities I need to do to what? Have a system in place. Have a plan. Have a goal. What's my inventory? What's my pending? And guess what? What's my cash? I don't know about you guys, but you're here because this is a job. You're in the real estate business. The definition of business is to make money. If you're not making money, you're not in business. You're in a charity. Try and tell the IRS that. Okay. I know that we've only got about 5 more minutes, but I'm going to tell you something. I want to go into this, and if each and every one of you has a little bit of extra time, I always schedule about 15 or 20 minutes extra on my first coaching call. I don't want people dropping out because this is important. Is everybody going to be able to hang with me for a while?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Anybody know? All right. Let's talk about primary business or jobs of real estate salespeople. We're talking about high payoff DIPA, low payoff IPA. We're going to give them another name now. You've heard it. I mentioned it. We're going to call them proactive and reactive, okay? Now, the number one thing that a real estate agent has to do is acquire the clients to serve. That is building a business. That is the A priority. Unfortunately, most agents put the B priority before the A priority, and that is being reactive to provide the services to clients. Now, here's an example so I can get you to understand this. You went out and got a listing about 8 months ago. Okay, for Nathan, who's only been in the business for a while, he probably didn't do that. So we'll go 8 months back. Okay, you were excited about it. You knew it was a little bit overpriced. You put the sign in the front yard. Everything was cool. You put it in MLS. You had it on broker tour. You know, everything was great. And then the market starts to backwards. And things start to change, and you don't have the skill to pick up the phone and call that seller and get the price reduced, or you don't have the heart to tell them that you overpriced it, or you don't know what to do to get it sold, and you just leave the sign and ignore. And the market keeps changing. And that seller starts getting nervous. So that seller jumps in and takes over the marketing of their own property. They come into your office, they sit down with you, and they say, I need to get my house sold, I'm aggressive. I need to get aggressive. So this is what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to have an open house every other weekend. I'd like you to change the color flyers that are on the sign. I'd like you to put a virtual tour on the internet. I'd like you to change the photographs. I'd like you to advertise it in the New York Times. And we go, sure, because we fear the loss of the listing. Are you kidding me? That is reacting to servicing the client's needs because we don't know anything better. We don't know the market trends. We don't know what's happening in the marketplace. We don't know how to price property in difficult markets. We don't know whether the seller's qualified. We just say yes. And when we get into a reactive mode, we're spending all of our time sitting at open houses, spending all of our time, doing all this reactive stuff, and we never have any time to be proactive to go out and acquire the clients to serve. You need to build your business around A, not A around your business. You need to build your business around your high payoff activities, not build your high payoff activities around your business. You know what? Being an A realtor, acquiring clients to serve, being proactive is what high producers do. They're always out there trying to create new business. They're always rainmaking. I'm sure that you can think of many agents right now that are absolutely overwhelmed. About 4 years ago, there was an agent for a very large franchise in the nation, and one of you guys on this call actually is a member of that franchise, so I'm not going to say who it is. But he went around the country on a speaking tour talking about being a mega listing agent. Believe me, he was a mega listing agent. He had 167 listings. He's running all around the country telling everybody how to do it. Well, guess what? He's out of the business. He's broke, he's divorced, and he's filed bankruptcy today. He knew how to list property, but he didn't know how to sell it. He didn't know how to maintain it. He didn't know how to proactively get the job done. And when the market started changing the other way, he didn't know how to get a price reduction. He didn't know how to do any of that stuff. And you know what? He became exhausted, worn out, and tired because he could not service all those listings the way they reactively wanted him to. He tried to. He sat at 3 or 4 open houses every weekend. He spent money on expensive ads. He did everything, and guess what? It just sucked him right down the tube. And then the following year, his franchise came out, and another guy went around speaking on how you could get a certain amount of listings in a certain amount of months and get them sold. Just the opposite approach. I don't know about you guys, but I could mega list everything in town today if I wanted to. But the point is, do you want to be a listing agent or do you want to be a selling agent? Do you want to list property or do you want to sell it? Do you want listings that are going to sell? Do you want to work at job B, or do you want to work at managing business A? B is a job. Unfortunately, in the real estate business, you don't get paid for it. Think about all those people that sit in a retail store, that stand in a retail store 8-10 hours a day and do nothing but service clients. They get paid 10 lousy bucks an hour for doing it. The person who's making the money in that gig is the guy who's bringing the customer through the door. Not the guy who's standing there servicing them. You know, to be a real estate rainmaker, you guys got to focus on acquiring good listings. That's number one. The definition of good will be determined throughout our coaching program. Good listings. You have to prospect consistently. You have to build and maintain a business networking system. Past client sphere, repeat business, referral business, whatever. Focus on acquiring good listings. Prospect consistently. Build and maintain a business networking system. Be your rainmaker. Be your rainmaker. Be proactive. Don't be reactive. Think about that in life. You know, every time I react to something in life, life gets difficult. Often reaction in a woman's world is called cattiness. And as you go through this coaching program and you start focusing on your activities and your attitudes start changing and the business starts coming in the door, you know what the most amazing thing is going to happen to you guys? And you know what that is? Everybody else is going to get catty. Everybody else is going to stand around and look at you. Everybody else is going to say, whoa, ho, what is Benny doing, man? And everybody's going to think, well, he's got the magic pill. So then they're going to be on your feet, and they're going to be trying to steal everything that you're doing, and you need to turn around, and you need to say to them, you know what? Call Real Estate Champions. Because you can't let them try and pull you into what? Reactive behavior. I've got a gal from one of my groups. She's in Fenton, Michigan. Now, Fenton, Michigan is probably one of the worst markets in the country. If any of you guys watched, I'm not an Oprah watcher, but I watched Oprah the other day because she had a series on the poorest counties in the country and how there are people in inner cities in the United States of America that live without water. Detroit, Michigan's one of them. Poorest big city in the nation. Well, just north of Detroit, Michigan, about 70 miles, there's a town called Flint and Fenton. Fenton's a suburb of Flint. Now, Flint, Michigan, as some of you may know, especially those of you who are from the Columbus, Ohio area, where Jim is from, will know that it was the automobile, one of the automobile capital areas of the world. Manufacturing plants all over. You drive up I-75, it goes right through Flint, U.S. I-75, and you look and there are major automobile plants closed down everywhere. It's the number one city for poverty and abuse in single women. Okay, she's in Fenton, Michigan, and she is making a lot of money. And the reason is because she is proactive. And you know what's happened? She works for Caldwell Banker Franchise. All the other agents in the office, including her broker, won't leave her alone. They want to know her secret. And she keeps saying to them, you know what, guys? I don't have the time to talk to you. I've got to do the activities I need to do to keep supporting my family. She's a grandmother with 6 grandkids. You know what? It doesn't make any difference what the market is. Don't sit there and say, oh, but the market's bad, or oh, it's the high foreclosures, or oh, it's this, or oh, it's that. You got to do the activities necessary to achieve. Michael Phelps had a goal. Amazing what happened. They had a video questionnaire thing on one of those night shows a couple weeks ago for Michael Phelps, and people who wanted to ask him questions got on the internet and asked him a video question. And I don't know if any of you saw that on TV, but I was one of the people that got selected to ask him a video question. Here was my question. This was my question. And I've asked you this question, too. I said, Michael, as a motivator for professionals every single day, my motto is that you cannot motivate a satisfied person. What is it about you, now that you have achieved such a high goal in your life, that you are unsatisfied with, that is going to make you continue to train for the 2012 London Olympics? That's my question. I'm going to ask each and every one of you guys the same question. I'm not going to tell you how he answered it. If you saw it, you know. If you didn't see it on TV, you don't know. I'll tell you how he answered it eventually. But I want you to think about that question. What is it about you that you are not satisfied with that's going to motivate you to achieve a new goal in the 2012 Olympics, was my question. But it's going to make you achieve a new goal. What is it? Well, you aren't going to get there if you're proactive. I mean, if you're reactive, you're going to get there if you're proactive. You're probably going to get there if you become a rainmaker, because that's what pays a lot. That's what puts you in control. That's what builds a valuable business. So, are you satisfied with doing the job? Or do you need to own and manage a business? It's the one business in the world that you can become the CEO of a multi-million dollar company if you know how to do it. John Gualtieri is. He sold his business now. But you know what? The last couple years that he was in business, the total GCIs of that company were over $1 million. That's a huge accomplishment for one man. Okay, moving forward. There's service presentation request sheet in there. Understand all these tracking sheets that are in Section 1, I want you to familiarize yourself with. I want you to read the definition. I want you to define them. And you know what, guys? I want you to pull them out, and I want you to start using them. If you're not going to track on your daily activity record and evaluation sheet, you have to track on these other ones. What are these other ones for? Your daily activity record and evaluation sheet is to tally totals. You put little tally marks on it. These tracking sheets in the back of your book are to convert those tally marks to actual names and people. Okay? In other words, this house is 2765 North Smith Road. This is a list of who lives in 2765 North Smith Road. It's behind the scenes of your daily activity record and evaluation. And what did I say? We have to track our performance in order to improve. We have to report our performance in order to improve faster. And we need to seek the results that we're looking for. It is going to be about the ratios, not the numbers. You can generate a lot of leads. I'm sure each and every one of you has piles of them on your desk. You have piles of them in your database. You have piles of them in your brain. You see them at the grocery store every day. You see them at the gas station. You know, generating leads is easy. But converting them into a commission check is where it gets tough. Okay, so on your activity assignment sheet, you should have. Familiarizing yourself with the daily activity record and evaluation sheet, start trying to use it if you can. Understand the difference between high payoff DIPA proactive, low payoff IPA reactive. Subconsciously think about everything you do every day. Does it fit into high payoff? Does it fit into low payoff? Okay, identify what you're doing. Think seriously about it. And then start working on trying to fill out your daily activity record and evaluation, and then move those tasks forward into the sheet of paper, transfer those tally marks into actual live human beings. Who are they? Because when you get them down in writing and they're sitting there in front of you, you're going to find yourself a lot less optimistic. Because there's a lot of people that are overly optimistic when the deck is stacked against them. What did I tell you? You sent out a letter, you did this, you sent out three letters, you picked up the phone, you called once, and then another sign shows up in the front yard, and you are upset. That was your baby. Are you kidding me? You're not kidding me, guys. You're kidding yourself. And your last action plan is after this class today, I want every single one of you to sit down and send me an email. Tell me what you think about the first session. Because it's tough. I mean, I hit you all in the side of the head. I mean, I understand you're sitting there going, wow, man. I don't know if I want this. I had one guy call me a Baptist preacher. You know what? This is so important. Doing the activities to improve the attitude, to improve the skill, to gain the knowledge. And I love to use the analogy of Olympic skating. Even though it's not the Winter Olympics right now, I've used this analogy for years, and that is, if you came to me and told me you wanted to be an Olympic ice skater, if I gave you every book that was ever published on Olympic ice skating and had you sit down and read them, do you think when you got done you'd be ready to win a gold medal?
No.
Absolutely not. Do you think if you strapped those skates on that you could do it? You probably could, but it's going to take some time, and you're going to have to put those skates on, and you're going to have to do the activities, you're going to have to practice and practice and practice, and you're going to have a really positive attitude about it in order to improve your skill and improve your skill and improve your skill to know and to learn and to understand what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong. To turn around and get better and better and better at it. To become what? A champion. That's why they call it an Olympic champion. Michael Phelps is motivated by negative behavior. You'll hear him say that. You'll hear his coach say that. They'll all say to you, you know what? When the French people dogged him and said that they were going to whip him and that they were going to make the Americans eat their silver medal, what happened? 1/100th of a second. Michael Phelps was so ticked, he said, you know what, my adrenaline was literally boiling and I wasn't going to let it happen. Don't let others put you down. Rise above it and become the best agent that you can become. Okay, before we go, back to our trusty little list of people again here, guys. We are going to start with Jim West. How do you feel about what you've learned today, Jim?
Awesome. I'm excited.
Okay.
Looking forward to the stretch run.
Do you think you're going to be a person that's going to struggle with doing activities?
No.
Okay. All right. Nathan, how do you feel about today? Oh, did we lose Nathan?
He's so excited he started working.
Well, let me tell you something. That's a good point, but I'll tell you something, guys. You're going to find out. You're going to find out real fast who's excited and who isn't, because the people that will struggle with it and are like, oh, you've got to be kidding me, will just stop calling in.
Hmm.
So, and that's why I said at the beginning of this call, I want you guys to understand, if you're here for a different reason, you need to send me an email and let me know.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Jim Crosby, how do you feel about today?
Yeah, I feel good. I think it's a good opportunity for a little self-reflection, you know, kind of makes you think about what you're doing and where you want to go. As far as activities go, will I struggle with it? Sure. But
yeah.
I don't think you learn anything or accomplish anything unless you struggle. So I'm not afraid of the struggle. The activities are a little scary, but the struggle's not. So we'll get through it.
Good. Good. Great positive attitude. But the activities came first, which is great. Dan, did you join us again? We got down to three people today. Benny, how about you?
I thought it was a lot of good information that was shared. As far as the activities, it's going to force me to sit down and actually to document what I'm doing. As far as it being a challenge, it's just going to require me to use my time more wisely and get these things done, because I'm not going to drop out.
Good. Good attitude. Good, good, good. All right. Any questions for me before I let you go? And guys, understand, don't get worried about all that this paperwork. There's a lot of it there. It's overwhelming. You know, it really is. And I don't want you to think that that I'm giving you way, way, way too much to do. We're going to filter into this slowly. But you've got to be familiar with knowing and understanding from session one that we got to track it. We aren't on this call to get fat together. We're on this call to do what? To be successful. And I want each and every one of you to have that opportunity. And sometimes I get so fired up, and you have to understand, I do the activities to improve my attitude, to try and be the best coach that I can be every single time we get on the phone. And if I'm not being the best that I can be, think about that. What would you do if I got on the phone and I said to you guys, you know what, guys? I just had a bum week. I didn't do the activities I was supposed to do. My family weighed me down. Other people were bugging me. My listing is being a hassle. You think you'd call in every time? Heck no. I'm here for you. I'm here to do the activities that I need to do to change my attitude and your attitude about your ability to be successful and to gain what? The skill in becoming a better and better and better coach for you and learning what it's going to take to do it. So let's be honest with ourselves and honest with each other. And let's say, just like they do before a basketball game, let's all put our hands in there, let's bounce them up and down and say, go team. I would love to see you guys become one of the best groups out of here. I'd like to see you all become better and better. I'd like to see you all keep going in coaching. I'd like to see you all be the Bob Giffords and the John Gualteris of the Real Estate Champions world. Because I believe in you right now. And you know what? The only reason I believe in you is because you've made the investment in me. I'm going to make the investment in you. Let's prove each other it was to each other that it was a good investment. Make sense? Okay, guys, the Baptist preacher is done for the day. If you have any further comments, anything you want to say, send me an email. I love to get email comments after, you know, first, second, third, or after any PAC session. We often pull them out. We share them on our website and on our email and those kind of things about what our clients are saying, thinking, or doing. And I will tell you that we are always looking for testimonials. We are always looking for shining stars. We are always looking for people to join our champion team that we can use as examples and put on our platforms when we're out and about in the real estate community. You know what? We want you to be champions. It's not about us. It's about you. So everybody have an absolutely great week, an awesome weekend with the family. Next weekend's actually Labor Day. That's going to be a tough weekend for me. My oldest son packs up and transfers to Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know if any of you have ever had the opportunity to live or move or be in Bend, Oregon, but I'll tell you, it's God's country. And moving from Bend, Oregon to Atlanta, Georgia is going to be a shock for this kid. An absolute shock. He is used to longboarding to work. Now he has to sit in traffic for a long time. It's still long. It's just different kind of long.
They can do personal development then.
I told him, I said, listen to my tapes. He's like, oh, thanks, Mom.
Yep.
Exactly. Thanks a lot, Mom, you know. But he's in Michigan right now. He took a trip to Michigan this morning to see my mother and to pack up a few things that he has in Michigan from when he went to school and lived out there for a while. And off to Atlanta, Georgia he goes. So I'll tell you guys, if you're not empty nesters and you're getting to that point, that's going to be a sad day in my life.
When you have grandkids, it takes up the void.
Well, I'll tell you something. I am in a relationship, actually, with a gentleman who we are very, very close. He lives across the street from me, actually, and he and his wife were dear friends of mine, and she passed away of cancer, and I supported him through all that, and it ended up that he and I got together, and he has 15 grandchildren. So believe me, I'm not lost for grandkids. I have none. He has 15.
There you go.
Between the two of us, we have 9 kids and 15 grandkids, because not only did we inherit, he inherited my kids, I inherited his kids, and together we've inherited her kids.
How's the gray hairs coming?
Well,
Brady Bunch Plus.
The problem is that the deceased wife's children are all girls, and the catty behavior is just more. And so, you know, those grandkids are very difficult for both of us to stay close with because, you know, the kids think that he moved on in relationships too fast and he doesn't respect their mother. You know how it is. It's that deep, deep grieving that a lot of people have to deal with in blended families. And, you know, it's tough and it's unfortunate because I come from a very normal family. I'm the only one in the history of my entire family that has ever been divorced.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, my mom's a preacher, my sister's a preacher, you know, and you look at all that and you think, holy cow.
Yep.
But you know what? I'm enjoying the opportunity. I'm enjoying the experience. It's kind of like a new activity for me to do. We'll see how it turns out. You'll
good
see
luck.
That I'll use a lot of people as examples over the next 6 months, and on occasion, next week I'll actually give you an example of another neighbor of ours. It's an example of lawn mowing, and it's very helpful, and we'll move forward in that direction. But guys, it's been great. I think we got a great group here. I'm really excited, and welcome to Real Estate Champions PAC Coaching, and I'll talk to you all next week.
Thank you. Okay. See you then.
All righty. Have a good one. Bye-bye.